I think that's the first time I've ever been introduced via video, by the way. A couple things as I get started. First of all, Marnie, as my wife Marnie, happy Mother's Day. My two sons, Hudson and Charlie. We go to this church, but we go to 8:30 and we like sit, or 9 o'clock anyway, we sit right there, except during baseball season when maybe we have some weekend tournaments. But we've never been to 10:30, I don't think. Have we, love? Yeah, this is great. You guys are like, this is the chosen crowd right here. Opening comments. We do have a star with us this morning, Grant Mondejar, number 29, plays for the Cheyenne Mountain Indians. First time they've been in the playoffs since 2012, because he not only pitched a great close, but went 3-for-3 and has the number 29 after Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans for you to have victory for Cheyenne Mountain. So. So with that, I want to say good morning, happy Mother's Day. I'm delighted Pastor Stewart's gone, because I've wanted to have this opportunity, you know, and you can't do it when he's here. But a little shout out to my mom. She'll listen to this at some point. So Mom, happy Mother's Day. You're a young 85. You're the coolest 85-year-old I know, and thanks for all the things that you gave me that Dad didn't know about. Nordstrom's card, eating out when he would, go on trips. Thank you. Mother's Day is also a significant time for many. It comes with a mixed review. I'll throw a couple out, and then I'm going to pray for us. But Mother's Day isn't always like the greatest day in the world. Some people in the sanctuary have lost your moms. And so today you're remembering, and you're kind of reflecting, and you're wishing that you could reach out. And so it's sad. There are people in the sanctuary who have not had children, make it all the way through those tumultuous pregnancy years, and you were a mom and just didn't get to see it out maybe the way you wanted it to. And so this day can have an interesting impact on your heart. And there are people here who are moms, maybe even elderly or older moms, who your children should be here, like my mom's 59-year-old son who passed away in September. My brother. Again, Mother's Day, she's not going to get a text from him or a call. And then finally, I think there's some moms who want to be moms, and you're battling infertility. And so we're with you in that, and we're praying. And so I just want to acknowledge that Mother's Day has a lot of different emotions. And so I'm going to pray for mothers, and I'm going to pray for these words that the Lord would bless us, and then we're going to go into the sermon. So let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for the mothers in this room. Thank you, Lord, for the mixed emotions that come with this day, and that we turn them back over to you and say, Lord, have your way. You say in Philippians that you give a peace that transcends all human understanding. So, Lord, we ask you for that peace. We thank you for that video and all the different things that moms do. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit and through your word, and give us at least one thing to walk out this morning with. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to focus on, the title of the sermon is Jesus Impact, but we're going to focus just on this concept of Jesus, and, you kind of can't go wrong. I think Parker, who was a Sunday school kid in second grade, had it right when he said, hey, listen to the other kids. Whenever the teacher asks a question, just start waving your hand around like you've never done it before, and when they call on you, just say, Jesus. You have a 95% chance of being right. Not only that, but if you say Jesus, they'll probably get a good job from the teacher, and you might even get to go to the treat box because you said Jesus. So Jesus is like 95% you're there. But this morning, I want to remind us on the front end of the sermon, we're going to look at four Jesus impact moments that we can all leave Fellowship of the Rockies, and we can go have an impact. Okay, you pick one of the four, and you leave here, and you do it, you're good. But we're also going to look at these four and reflect slightly on how moms kind of live these out. It's just kind of who they are. They're kind of better, okay? Maybe moms and women, just they have a whole different level of just betterness, okay? I don't know if that's a word, but if it isn't, it is now. So a couple of thoughts on Jesus. The first comes from Colossians chapter 1. I'm not going to read you all of Colossians chapter 1, but I'll read you a couple verses. Now, Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. He existed before all creation began. through him and for him were created power and dominion. In fact, every single thing was created through and for him. It kind of goes on. It talks about just basically Jesus is a big deal. He was sent here for a purpose, maybe many purposes, but the one purpose that most important to all of us is, it says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Everybody. I used to give Young Life messages, and I'd use the Evel Knievel, for those of you that remember Evel Knievel, going across the Snake River, and even Evel Knievel couldn't make it to the other side. And then I'd say even Mother Teresa, she can't make it to the, no one can do it. And what's the cost of that? Well, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's a cost involved to just being born into humankind. And that is that on our own, we can't make it to have a relationship with God. Enter Jesus. In fact, it even says in John 1:29, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Like, this is why Jesus came. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the cost, the wages of sin is death." And then there's a comma. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ." So yes, he came for also to show us how to live abundant life. But like Jesus doesn't come, none of us can have a relationship with God. And as it says in Colossians, he's the visible picture of the invisible God. Like if God, high school kids used to say to me, "I can't see him and I can't hear him." And that's frustrating. And I'd be like, "Yeah, but just go to Jesus's Instagram, because everything you see there is God." Jesus is the visible picture of God. That's really cool that I'd say Instagram. That's like how edgy I am, okay? Some of you are like, "What's Instagram?" I'll explain it later. Okay. So today, we're going to look at this person of Christ. We're going to look at four attributes. We're also going to kind of overflow that a little bit and glance at mothers, because it's Mother's Day. And so we're going to look at the impact of Jesus. Here are the four. I'm going to give you the sneak preview. One, second mile. Two, notice. Three, of course. Four, power source. So those are the four we're going to look at. I think you'll enjoy them because it's the life of Christ. I mean, come on, who wouldn't love that? So we have a God that starts off with, he's a second mile. He's a second mile God. You see that all over the place. I like looking at Mark chapter 5. Okay, again, this is just an interesting moment in the life of Christ. It says, right in Mark chapter 5 on the front end, it says, "So they arrived on the other side," little backdrop, this is where Jesus meets Legion. Actually, it's like one of the power chapters of the New Testament. Read Mark 5 later, because you got Legion, you got the bleeding woman, and then, you got Jairus. There's a lot going on. But Jesus says he arrived on the other side of the lake. This isn't on his way. This is actually out of his way that Jesus would go here. Because he's kind of a second mile guy. He does the things that are not necessarily planned for. The other thing that I would say about that is at the end, it says just a small line, 20 verses into Mark 5. It says, "So the man, Legion, who was healed, life was transformed, all because Jesus went out of his way, second mile." It said he went off and spread this through the 10 towns. This guy lived in the Decapolis, 10 towns, and this guy went and told the story. So sometimes when we're kind of the kind of people that do the second mile, the impact has a ripple effect, and it certainly did there. We believers are also asked to do the same thing. We're asked to go the second mile. In fact, we're asked to look like the kind of people that are different than the world. The scripture says you're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be light. Well, I was a waiter. There was a bunch of waiters and waitresses at the restaurant I worked at in Salem, Oregon. And they used to say this, "Oh, man, whatever you do, I don't want to work Sundays and I don't want to work Wednesdays, because that's when all the Christians come to the restaurant. And they're terrible tippers." This is the image that believers had. We're supposed to be second mile people. We're supposed to be the people that go the extra bit. In fact, in Matthew, when Jesus is saying, hey, when a Roman guard comes up to you, which by law they can, and they say to you, hey, I want you to carry my backpack for a mile, which by the way was completely legal. Jesus said, when you get to the mile mark and the guy looks over and he's ready for you to drop the backpack in the dust, say, what are you talking about? I'm going two. Be a second mile person, because that's how we can have an impact in Colorado Springs or even in this kind of vicinity, this neighborhood of Colorado. What would it look like for you to go the second mile? I mean, no offense to dads, but I think women, I think you have this like cornered. You were like born second mile people. You have an extra kind of source of energy and hospitality. When Hudson, who's now 17, sorry, Hudson, don't mean to point you out. When he was just born, we went through those 3 months of like no sleep. And I can remember sometimes when the little monitor, you know, which this is back before the TV, flat screens, whatever, when the little monitor would go off and Hudson would be crying, I'd be like, I cannot move. My pillow is, you know, fabricated to the back of my head. He can cry all night if he wants to. And Marnie would just pop up, you know, boom, I got it, no problem. And it's like she had another gear. Like the car had four gears in mine, but she had like seven. Women, I think you're designed naturally with this second mile engine. I mean, there's a mom on our baseball team, Dylan's mother. Her husband, she's in the military. He's in the military. He died a year and a half ago of brain cancer. She has four kids. One is a dancer, the girl. One is a baseball player. And I don't know how she keeps it all together. It's like she has more gears in her life, and she's always still hospitable and, you know, bringing little cards for people. And I'm like, where do you get this? She's a second-mile person. And the first second-mile person was Jesus. And he's asking us to be second-mile people. Okay, the second one, notice. The impact of noticing. As we kind of strive to follow after Christ and model what the way he is, we want to have an eye for noticing. You ever wonder how Jesus met Peter? Peter was kind of a big deal, okay? He ended up doing a lot of amazing things for the kingdom. But when Jesus met Peter, it just says an interesting verse. It says they were standing on the shores of Lake Gennesaret, and Jesus noticed two boats drawn up on the shore. This is how their relationship started. I mean, some of you could probably look at your significant other and go, hey, remember it was when you noticed me across the dance floor, or you noticed me in the college dorm? The noticing leads to lots of different things. But Jesus really did live out noticing. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting at the gates as he usually does, and Jesus notices him and hears him calling out. How about the guy by the pools? 38 years he's been by the pools till the day that Jesus comes by and notices his life. Jesus is asking us to notice. I remember when we were in Texas, I worked with Young Life, and Marnie would spend time with the different staff wives, and she came home one day, and I said, well, how'd it go with so-and-so? She said, wow. She cried most of the time. I said, why? She goes, because she got her hair cut and colored 3 days ago, and her husband still hasn't noticed. Husbands, make a note. The power of noticing is really, we have this gift in our system. We can bless people in the world by just noticing. I remember I was a waiter. And you could go up, and if you said, hey, I noticed your coffee's getting a little bit cold. Can I get you a fresh cup? Would you like extra sour cream with that baked potato? Do you need a booster chair? You know what? Let me pull another table up. You guys seem crammed at this table. And people are always looking at you like, wow. And you're like, I just noticed. The power of noticing for the kingdom is all in your hands. You can leave here today. And there are people coming around your life that if you just paused and said, Lord, give me your eyes, you see what would happen. And then there's that classic moment in John 21 where Jesus had died and rose from the dead. Kind of a big moment for us believers. And he was standing on the shores, and the fishermen who thought he was gone are in the boat, and they're like, well, let's just go fishing. We don't know what else to do. And so they're kind of fishing. Jesus is standing on the shore, and there's a mist in the air. It's early morning, much like when these kids were singing. I don't know why I don't get the fog machine, but that's another story. And Jesus kind of yells out there, you know, he says, hey, have you caught anything? And the guys in the boat, you know, they yell out. I would have yelled out, not yet, but they yelled out, no. He goes, well, why don't you throw your nets on the other side? There'll be a catch there. And so the, I don't know why they did that. You know, it's like 5 feet from here to here. But for whatever reason, they were like, what if? And they loaded in those smelly, heavy, wet nets, and they moved them to the other side. And then that boat started to just go. And they're looking at each other like, what was that? I'm not really sure. And boat's kind of tipping sideways, and they're looking at each other like, you think we caught something down, like, is, you know, like a rock? And all of a sudden, you know, Peter says, are you kidding me? It's him. He's back. And he jumps into the water and makes for the shore. And of course, they had to pull in 153 fish, but they do that, and they make for the shore. And what does Jesus have ready for everybody? He has a fire. He has coffee. Okay, that's not in the scripture, but I know he did, okay? And you know it too. And he had fish, and he says, come, have breakfast. And he knew, he noticed that they would be cold, and they would be hungry because they had been grieving, and they probably hadn't eaten for a couple days, and they wanted to spend some time with the risen Savior, and he put it all together. I can tell you this. Our world is a better place because Jesus gave us that model. But it's also a better place because it's Mother's Day. Moms picked this up. This is like in their DNA. Notes in lunchboxes, doing teenagers' laundry, even though you said you wouldn't. Sorry, Hudson. I mean, moms just do it. A dad does laundry and just puts it there. Moms like fold it and make it nice and use freshener so it smells good, like Bounce. I'm like, yeah, fold it yourself. We have company come, and they come and they say, oh, I just love the little flower in our room. And I'm like, what flower? And I go in the room, there's little flowers. And I mean, it's like, it's just care packages, gifts with tissue paper. I've never understood tissue paper, I'm just going to be honest. It seems kind of a waste to me, but they put on the extra colorful scarf. They put an extra splash of perfume. Moms do it so well, and it makes a difference. You know, I don't know, how many people have ever been to a Farrell's ice cream? Anybody? So I know, or knew, he died about 4 years ago, but Bob Farrell was a friend of mine, and he lived in Portland, Oregon, and he was a great guy, and Bob would tell this story about, he loved his business. He had Farrell's Ice Cream, he had Stanford's restaurants, but Farrell's Ice Cream was known for, if it was your birthday, you got the free sundae, you got the song, and it wasn't just a song. It's not like, you know, Red Robin, you know, happy, happy birthday, and it's none of that. They come out with a full-on orchestra, this, you know, monkey that's banging the drum. It's a big deal. And people would come to Farrell's to get the free sundae, but then they'd spend like a $90 to get, you know, hamburgers and everything. So Bob was a smart guy. Here's what Bob said about noticing. He said, you know what? I work in a great business. Noticing people, that's what I do, day in and day out. It's my job to brighten people's day, even just a little bit. It's my sincere belief that, you know what? It adds up. It makes a difference. A little smile, a little kindness can make a huge difference. I remember one day I was working the cash register on a Saturday, which I love to do. I love to talk to people when they would come to the cash register. I would even teach my staff to watch and observe and notice even what they don't say. And so here comes this man and his wife and their son. Hey, sir, how was everything? I listened as he said, fine. How much is my bill? These are the back in the days where you didn't know how much you spent until they added it up at the cash register. It was all this, you know. It was fine. How much is my bill? I said, is there a problem? He said, no, forget it. No, just, no. Sir, seriously, is there a problem? I want to fix it. Sir, if there's something wrong, I want to know. He said, listen, you want to know? I'll tell you. Veins start to pop out on his neck. I came here for my little boy's birthday. I came here for the free Sunday and the song. We waited and we waited, and finally we didn't get it and we're leaving. So we never got the Sunday and we never got the song. Now I wondered why they didn't say something, but some people don't. Some people don't like to complain. I said, wait a minute, just a minute. I picked up the boy. I set him down here on the ice cream counter. I said, wait right here, like a six-year-old's going to do anything at that point. He goes, I ran around the corner, and I said to one of the wait staff who was just finishing a big sundae, I said, give me that thing, grabbed the sundae, came around the corner, and then I stopped the entire restaurant. I said, everybody, I need your attention. We have a little boy here. Hell, what's your name? Alex. Alex! How old are you? Six. 6 years old. I want everybody in this restaurant to stop eating, and I want you to sing like you've never sang before. I want you to belt it out because Alex is 6 years old and he didn't get a song and he's got his Sunday now. And Bob says, I swear, the Tabernacle Choir was here. They were standing on the chairs. They were cheering. It was amazing. The mother with tears strolling down her face and the father, well, he wasn't crying, but you could tell we moved his heart. The power of noticing. Everybody in this room has this ability. You're running into people all the time. You're seeing the person at Costco who's just loaded the last thing into their car, and they have an empty cart, and you can just say, hey, you want me to take that back for you? I got you. We are believers, and we've been called to notice and make a difference. You know, what moms, you know, so I'm going into the third one right now. What moms are so amazing at this. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes into a person with leprosy, and the leper says to Jesus, you know, if you want to, you could make me healed. The leper came before Jesus, knelt in front of him. If you want to, you can make me clean. Jesus, filled with pity, stretched out his hand, placed it on the leper, and said, want to? Of course. Those two words are the power of us out in the world as salt and light. Of course I want to. To be an of course person, to be the kind of person that when somebody says, hey, is there any way I could get a ride? Of course. Do you have an extra plate? Of course. I remember I was the camp director speaker at one of our camps in Arizona, Los Canyon. My role was when the buses would roll in, I would stand on the microphone, and you know, some of them have been on the bus for 14 hours. They're getting off, and you're like, hey, welcome to Los Canyon. You're gonna have the greatest week of your life. Everything's open. Don't worry about your bags. We got it. It's gonna be awesome. Go on. You know, that was my role. It's kind of important, really. This group of kids from Ohio get off the bus. There's like 15 guys. They've got these weird sticks with like mesh on the end. At the time, I had no idea what it was. Now I know. It's lacrosse. Okay? You can't pull one over on me. So I pulled one of the kids over and I go, hey, what are all these sticks? And he goes, lacrosse, man. And then he just said really quickly, do you have lacrosse goals here at Lost Canyon? And I looked right back at him and I said, of course we do. And he was like, yeah, and they all left. I get on the walkie-talkie, and I called our supervisor of maintenance. I said, hey, buddy, do we have lacrosse goals? He's like, no. I said, we need them. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, I just promised 16 kids from Ohio that we had them. So, you know, and I said, of course we do, and so I need you to be kind of my of course person. And that night after dinner at 6:30, I'll never forget it as long as I live. Those, you know, dining room hall doors open and kids are pouring out. They got about 2 hours of free time. And I saw these kids from Ohio, you know, running out. It was almost like Braveheart. You know, they're, you know, chanting with their, you know. And there were two lacrosse goals that had been welded in the last 3 hours. Because we had a guy that said, of course, because I could not have pulled it off. Of course, people are powerful. God wants us to be of course people. You realize that Jimmy Carter in 1977 was the first president to get out of the car and walk Pennsylvania Avenue. He walked for over a mile. And everyone, it was so much power because he was deemed the, of course, president, the president of the people. He walked Pennsylvania Avenue that ever since, every president does it. Because they want to be seen as, oh, of course, we walk with the people. Well, that's what Jesus did. He left heaven, came down, climbed out of the limo, if you will. John 1:14, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Moms seem to have this down. I know my mom certainly did, especially when I was an early young life leader, and I'd say to my mom, hey, mom, there's about three or four kids who don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving. Any shot we could invite them to our Thanksgiving? Of course, my brother and sister are going, no, just family. Sorry if you're listening to that. My mom's like, absolutely. Out comes, different levels of tables, right? We had three tables smashed together, all a different height. Like, don't set the creamer between the two tables. They'll tip over. I've done that. Three different tablecloths, all white, but they didn't match. In fact, one of them looked like kind of a dirty sheet. But what do you do when you want to have people for Thanksgiving? You say, yes, of course, we're all going to sit at the same table. Final one, the power source. You see, what was the power source for Jesus? The power source was his Father. Jesus was constantly going off to a place of solitude. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus went off to a solitary place where he prayed. His disciples looked for him, found him, and exclaimed, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus said, well, then let's go someplace else. See, because it was in that solitude time, he received not only time with his Father, but he received also direction, which is what we need, by the way. We need time with our Father, and we need direction. Jesus knew that that came from the Father. You see him, Matthew 14:23. After he dismissed them, he went to the mountainside where he would pray. What about us? Where does your fuel come from? Jesus would go to a garden. He would get up early in the morning. He would go to a mountainside. It's fun. I called my mom last week on Sunday afternoon. I said, hey, just want to say hi. What are you doing? And my mom said, I just finished my Bible study for the week. And I thought, there she is, 85, still plugging into the power source. And this year of all years is a year she needs to plug in. She lost her middle son. And she's, I know it's hard. But the Lord says in Philippians 4:7, he gives a peace that transcends all human understanding. Jesus taught us something. I mean, Stormy O'Martin has made probably a pretty good handsome size, and she's got books on praying everything. Praying wife, praying mom, praying husband, praying dog. I mean, you got them all. There are so many times, but in Mark 9:29, it does say this kind only comes out by prayer. We have to go to the power source sometimes because there are situations that all of us are going to face that we will say, I'm at the end of myself. And now you plug into the power source and you plug in through the scripture and through prayer and through solitude. Jesus tells us to go away, Matthew 6:6. It says, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen, and what he sees and what is done in secret, he will reward. No, it's not a prosperity gospel, okay? And he'll give you money. No, that's not what I'm saying. He'll reward you. I mean, listen, Cheyenne Mountain hasn't been in the playoffs in baseball since 2012. Do I think that because you put Jeremiah 29:11 and you're number 29, that God's honoring you? Kind of. So glad you didn't take number 18. We wouldn't be going to the playoffs for the first time in 6 years. I kind of do believe that the God honors. God listens. It's amazing to me. There's one little moment in Mark 2. So that's the scene in the scripture where Jesus is in a crowd, in a house. It's totally crowded. People are looking in the windows. Remember, the four guys get the paralytic, and they say, let's bring our buddy because we think maybe he could get healed. He hasn't walked. This is awesome. They load him up on the Home Depot pallet of plywood, and they start carrying him. He's like, guys, I really don't want to do this. And they're like, you know, be quiet. We're going for this thing. And they march him all the way there. It takes them a long time, a lot of effort. They finally get there. Hey, can we possibly get in? People are like, no. Are you kidding me? We got here early. You know, find your own way. But these guys were, it could have been another point. They were roof ripper offers. They were roof rippers. They said, we don't care. And they went up to the roof. Man, I'm glad I didn't own this house. And they just tore into that mud roof. They created a hole and they dropped this guy right through the roof, right in front of Jesus. Everybody in the room knows what he's going to say because that's why they came. You can walk. But that's not what he said. That's what they were supposed to say. And they're like, no, Jesus, excuse me, I think you got this one wrong. Remember the guy, the pallet, can't walk. We brought him. We lowered him. And Jesus said, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, do you not find that fascinating? I mean, some people might even thought, what's this guy done wrong? But I think as the four guys who carried him started to kind of lunge for Jesus, like, what are you doing? You know, like, we brought him all this way to hear you say, walk. And the guy that's sitting there on the plywood just kind of goes, like, no. That was the most important thing. Because I have been unplugged. And I want to plug back into the power source. You know what it says in James 5:16? It says, make the habit, get in the habit of confessing your sins one to another. I think there are people in this church who have been unplugged. You've been unplugged because in Hebrews 12, it talks about a sin that entangles, so easily ensnares. I think people are unplugged. You have broken relationships right now. People you haven't talked to, and you know that the Lord's saying, just go talk to them. There are people you need to say, I'm sorry to. There are situations in your life you've unplugged. And God says, oh my gosh, plug in. Because you can make such a difference. Second mile, notice, of course, power source. These are the impacts of Jesus. These are the things that Jesus has done that mothers do. So naturally. So I want to close with a story of a picture of a mother's heart, which is really a picture of Jesus' heart. I can't think of a better way than kind of looking at a mother's heart and wrapping it with Jesus' heart, and that's what I'm going to try and do in this final story. Christina is the daughter. Maria is the mom. They live in Brazil in a small village. Christina is one of five kids. There's no dad, there's no husband, they have no money. And I think Christina woke up one day and said, you know what, I'm going to go to the big city because I'm taking food away from my little brothers and sisters, and I'm at the age right now where I think I should go in and find my life. And so one morning she snuck away, she left the village, and she went into the big city. Maria's mom knew what that would mean. She knew that her daughter wasn't going to find life in the city, and she knew the things that she would probably have to do to even sustain herself. So she quickly went and got all the money that she had and took a bus into the big city. Before she started to look for her daughter, she went into one of those photo booths that kick out four little tiny black and white photos. She spent all the money she had, and she printed out about 50 photos of just herself. And then she took the time to write on the back of every single one of those notes, just those pictures, just a little note. And then she went around. She went to bars and hotels and nightclubs. She went to bus stops. She went to anywhere she could find a bulletin board, and she tacked up her photo. It wasn't long before Maria's money had run out, and one morning as she descended some hotel stairs, she looked at the wall, and she saw her mother right there in a little black and white photo. Oh, her mom was long back at the village. Her eyes got blurry, and she picked up that little photo, and she turned it around, and she read this little invitation on the back. It said, whatever you've done, whatever you've become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. My closing thought for each one of us today is I think that God has put his picture all over this city. It talks about it in Psalm 1 and Romans 1 that, you know, you can see God's picture everywhere. His stars pour forth speech. That no man is with a shred of excuse because all they have to do is look at creation. But I just wonder if on this Mother's Day a couple people might want to pick up that little photo and turn it over. And I wonder if you might even see that same phrase from Jesus to you. Whatever you've done, whatever you've become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. Which, by the way, would be a pretty awesome Mother's Day gift. Whatever you've done, you can turn back today. Whatever you've become, you were knit together in your mother's womb. You are a child of God. It doesn't matter. Fresh starts happen today and come home. It's as simple as a prayer. And home, being in a relationship with the Father, is what you were designed for. So wouldn't that be a great Mother's Day gift? And as you leave this place today, remember the incredible impact of Jesus and how we are called to do the same thing, to be those second mile people, to be the people that notice, to be the people that say, of course, and to make sure we don't unplug from the power source. Lord, bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. Amen.